guys. It's Alicia.
And I'm Larice.
And this is
Vintage Love.
We are back. I know we took a little bit of a hiatus.
No, we was just lazy.
No, it was a hiatus because we launched a church. So that was kind of taking up a lot of our time.
Yeah, so I wouldn't call it a hiatus. I wouldn't call it laziness either. I think just being busy because you're like in your doctoral program. And then I'm also trying to finish this master's, barely.
Right.
So
we do all the things.
Too many things.
So too many things. For those that have not aren't familiar with us or haven't listened before, Larice and I are both in school. He's getting his master's in
Divinity
at New Orleans Baptist Theological Seminary. Shout out to NOBTS. And I am at ULM, University of Louisiana Monroe, also known as
You ain't leaving Monroe,
and we are still here in Monroe.
Amen.
5 years later. So with that, what
was like five?
Well, we started dating 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Got together 5 years.
But we weren't in Monroe then.
Well, you were.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, so I am getting my doctorate in curriculum and instruction from ULM. So we live a pretty busy life. Life and work and all those things kind of got in the way.
Parenting.
We have a very spicy 1-year-old, if y'all are not
aware.
And she's
walking, which is crazy.
She's walking now, so she's driving us a little crazy. But with all that being said, we are church planners. And we launched our church, The Well Church, January 5th,
yep.
2020. It feels like a lifetime ago. It's April now. So we launched our church January 5th. And we wanted to first talk a little bit about how that went.
Yeah. So we, it was pretty cool because we spent an entire year just kind of laying the foundation, trying to unlearn poor church habits, learn biblical church habits, developing a team, which that's always a hard part because, you know, you think people are going to like just jump on board and you ask friends and they say yes. And then they show up and then some don't show up and then they stick around for a little while. And so, you know, working through all of that emotionally was very, very taxing. And so, but then finally, after you, you know, get you a squad and some people are sticking around, it feels feel really good to finally get to that, you know, that big shebang, if
that
you will.
First church service,
yeah,
where we officially launched to the public. And something Larice talked about, unlearning bad church habits. So what are some examples of some bad church habits? Because I know people might hear that and not really know what that means.
Yeah, so I would say one bad church habit is thinking church is Sunday. And so, you know, for us, we spend our Sundays learning how to share the gospel, learning what a biblical church is. And to shift our thinking from the church being a day in a time or a building to the church being a family. And so that we spend a lot of time trying to unlearn that and to learn more biblical ideas like the church being a family and what that looks like. And so we started like our missional family. We met every Tuesday. We shared a meal together. We developed the outreach project, if you will. And so kind of built our community, our family around being on mission together. So,
yeah. And even for me, like to say that we, you know, we're the people that were planning this church and I knew what we wanted the church to look like, it was still, you know, cause for us a lot of unlearning, even in myself. You know, you talked about how taking away the idea that church is only on Sunday morning. And this idea, particularly missional family, which is basically what we call our small groups. And what I used to think about for small groups was it was a time that you got together on Tuesday or Wednesday, almost like a Bible study, and y'all, you know, got in the word and then you went home. But our missional family and the type of environment that we try to create at The Well is that we are truly family. We're doing what they call life on life. And so that means I'm all in your business. If we're family, the way that my mom can call me and ask me, girl, you did this, or, you know, you and Larice did this, or what y'all doing next week, just being in my business, because that's my mama, she's a part of my family. It's the exact same way with our missional family. I'll call them up, see what they're doing, be in their business, be in their life, because we're doing life together. And that's that life on life type of family that you really want to cultivate as being a part of a church. But previously, I had never experienced that, so it was very new for me as well, even though we were the people that were doing the church planting.
And even to build on that, like, changing the language of it all is like, was a very difficult part, but necessary part too, and that's a part of unlearning bad habits. So even for me, because, you know, I got to go above and beyond when I think through this so that I could, you know, develop that culture. She said, the way we do it at the well. And so for me, I would even change that language and say with the well, not at the well, because the well isn't a place to be at. It is a group of people to be with. And So those are like even the subtle things that, you know, we want to help develop people to more think about the church as a family of God and not a particular place or location. So,
yeah. And even when we talked about that, with our church family, we talked a lot about verbiage and even moving away from saying like, oh, church is on Sunday. Well, really Sunday is when we're having, you know, Sunday service or worship services, but that's not church, if that makes sense. Mm. Church is really daily. We are the church, you know, the people of God, not necessarily just something that we do on a Sunday morning. That's our worship services, and that's one of the ways that we worship God. But we worship God through giving, we worship God through discipleship, we worship God through missions. And so we have, you know, when we were formulating, it sounds all put together now, but when we were, you know, doing a part of our church planting journey was coming up with all this. And shout out to Boulevard, our church planting organization cohort that trained us in this way to be able to not just church plant all willy-nilly, because I feel like it's really easy to just say, hey, I want to start a new church, but it's difficult to, you know, do in practice. And that was one of the reasons why we wanted to start this podcast, for other church planters and other people in ministry that may be interested in the church planting journey and learn more about how we did it. And we're still learning. So we're a year and some change in it now, and learning and growing every day.
Yeah. And a big part for me too was I didn't just want to be that guy that was like, man, I'm pretty awesome, I'm going to start my own ministry. And or, man, I don't like how they do it, and so I'm going to do it the right way. And I didn't want to go about it that way. So that's why getting trained was so important for me as well, because it was like, you know, I'm just not finna jump in this and just do what I want to do. I want to make sure that as God is blessing it, me and my wife are properly prepared for the project. So, but back to the launch day specifically, which was really, really exciting and weird, because I had to like get my oil changed that morning, because after the launch, I had to drive to New Orleans for school to spend an entire week. So we had this big, you know, great momentum shebang. And then I got to leave the entire, you know, the Northeast Louisiana. But it was cool. So we had, and you always jump to numbers, which is, because that's not really the measuring stick that I use for success at our church. But it is one. And so, but we had like a little over 100 people. And it's so funny because this is consistent for our church. Like it's like, you know, 9:30, we have our people there, we pray together, whatever. 9:45 comes around, and 9:50 comes around, and then it's 9:55 and we start the 5-minute countdown, and it's like barely people there, like consistently on Sundays. And then we get to like 10:05 and the room's starting to look full. And so this particular Sunday, I'm like, you know, I'm giving our team the pep talk. And I'm like, hey, look, it might be just us, and we're going to be okay with that.
We have to be okay with that. And that was fine. Like, I would have probably been a little disappointed. Definitely
would have been disappointed.
But thankfully, that didn't happen, so we didn't have to find out what I would have done in that scenario.
And so I start, like, fixing chairs and stuff, and Alicia's like, babe, it's okay. It's good. It's going to be all right. And so people eventually start coming. And a lot of them, you know, were there to support what we were doing, and not everybody, you know, was there because they were there to experience the well and possibly connect with the new church.
Yeah.
So, and one of the funnest things for me was my man Big Al Cherry. If you know Big Al, he was trying to be helpful with our sound system. And so he was like, man, you know, tell me where your high's at, and so I can adjust this or whatever. And he was helping us out because we don't really have a sound engineer. I'm everything. I'm the sound guy.
Yes.
I'm the, you know, breakdown and tear down guy.
Yes.
I'm the, obviously the pastor. I'm, you know, I give some insight on media. I give some insight with our worship team.
He's very bossy with media.
So
clearly I also do everything. I'm the pastor's wife, social media manager, creative director on the worship team.
Right. So
all the things.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got to wear 1,000 hats when you do what
you try to church plant. I know a lot of people actually will say like, oh, I want to marry a pastor. I want to, you know, have my own church or whatever. If you are going to church plant, be ready to do all the things. It's okay, but just, you know, be prepared to do all the things.
Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot to do. So anyway, so Al wanted to make some adjustments for me. And so I was like, cool. And so I'm going to the things and I take him to where the settings are, and he turns a knob that he should not have turned, and the whole music went wah,
and it wasn't that loud as he is making it seem. It was very obvious, though. It was definitely very obvious.
Well, I was scared because the soundboard is like a super expensive, not super, no, it's definitely,
yes,
pretty
thousands,
expensive
thousands.
Yeah, it's definitely thousands of, yeah, dollars, but it's like top of the state of the art, you know, super tech type of soundboard. And so if he would have messed it up, there was no way I could fix it because I didn't know enough about it. I just,
yeah,
shoot, when I first took it out the box, man, it took me soliciting help from 2 different sound engineers to get it working. Like, that's how complex it was, which it,
right,
ended up, the problem ended up not being that deep. But anyway, so that was so funny because if he were like, luckily it was just one simple turn back the other way, but if it had not been that, we would not have had music for the rest of the thing, and
that
I would just have to go over and preach.
Yeah, like we would have been just singing a cappella.
Right. So, what was probably the most memorable thing for you on the launch day?
I appreciated so many people coming from different areas. Like Hollis came from Lafayette.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And I think I was just happy that I'm trying to figure out where was I. Like, I had to come from somewhere the night before or that morning. I can't remember. I think it was the morning of, like, I drove in and I was so tired, but at the same time I was, it was just really good to see so many people. Like the moment when I realized like, oh snap, like people are standing up, like the room is full,
yeah,
you know, like people are here.
It's my favorite picture too.
Yeah. Like I think in that moment, like I felt, and the moment we walked off stage and we had finished singing, that made me feel like, all right, you know, this went smoothly enough, like, because we had been practicing for so long on the singing part, and, you know, we're kind of at a disadvantage with that because we don't use musicians at this current time. We have what they call Loop Community. Shout out to Loop Community.
Multitracks.
We use them, their multitracks. And, you know, so we are kind of at a disadvantage when it comes down to music, but we still do really great music, and we have someone that's working with us that's really great. And so I was just nervous about that part. But once we, you know, I saw that all of these people were here and they're here, you know, to support the church, that made me really happy. And when we stepped off stage, like, and you know, and just to see you preaching was just a whole moment, because like that same, that like I posted that day, you know, I remember when we walked in the community center for the first time and we saw the room and we imagined in our mind what it would look like for a church to be in this community center space in this community. And to go from idea, I guess as a creative, that's just one of those things that you enjoy, because to go from an idea to us having core team members, to having a logo, to having signage, you know, and now we have fully functioning church that is starting to meet on Sunday, is just incredible. And it's just a very rewarding feeling for, yeah, sure.
So what would you say is probably the hardest thing so far since from launch time to where we are now?
I was literally not even hesitating. I know exactly what answer I want to say. Okay. Well, I was just about to say it. Doing all the things, for sure. Like, when I was a part of different churches and different ministries and stuff, it was very easy for me to be super invested into the message and really grow spiritually because I wasn't doing all the things. So I may have been doing one thing. Like when I was at the church in Baton Rouge, I was on the worship team and I did the prayer ministry. And like, that was it. I did social media a little bit, but not nearly to the extent that I do social media now. And it wasn't, you know, it was just so much of an operation. When you have a larger church, it's so much of an operation that you can compartmentalize in a way that we can't do for our church because it's 18 people, 20 people, you know, so
covenant members.
Yeah. Covenant members. We have, you know, 18 or so covenant members. So, you know, for sure, church planning thus far, the most difficult thing is doing all the things because you almost have to put church planning first. Like, church planning does not stop. So, you know, as soon as you think like, oh, I've got a hold on this, I've got a handle on this, you know, it's another Sunday, it's another series, it's another, you know, social media plan that has to be put in place. It's another week of sermon clips that have to be scheduled. Like, it's just, it does not stop. And, you know, it won't stop until we decide to not do it anymore. And it's very rewarding. But for me, especially being your wife, like, you know, if I was just a lay person and we weren't talking about church every 5 seconds, then it may be a little bit easier. But because we're so involved with this and it's so heavily a part of our life, that's what makes it really rewarding when we have really great highs. But when we have lows, we feel it more because we're so invested, because it's a part of our day to day.
One thing I would have to say has been, I guess, one of the things I've kind of thought a lot about is deepen my appreciation for small church pastors. And because when I was on staff at First West, it's a huge machine and kind of that compartmentalized thing. You know, you can easily focus on your area and then you might can touch another area. But in this regard, it's like, man, Sunday is always coming, which means you're always getting ready to preach. And so even going up to the launch, there were so many things, operationally that needs to be taken care of, that I didn't have time to work on my sermon that week at all. And luckily I had prepared it because I was like, at that point, I was like 5 weeks ahead per sermon. And so I had finished that sermon like early December, late November, which it was funny because when I got up there, I realized like, man, I'm not familiar with what's on my paper as well as I would like to be.
Yeah.
And so when I got down, I was like, man, I just had to forsake the notes and just let, you know, God do his thing and let it flow. And I realized like, man, this is hard. And Sunday after Sunday is like that. There's so many details about Sunday that I'm trying to make happen. So you take a typical third Sunday for us where I'm trying to interview people on their experience to share the gospel, which means I got to recruit a person. I got to send them questions ahead of time. We always do a kind of a what we call a $5 impact where we encourage everybody to give $5 to and take the lump sum of that to serve somebody in the community. So yeah, we got to find that person, pay for whatever it is, interview them. I got to coordinate all of that, have that video ready for Sunday. And so all those details, and then we actually leave to go share the gospel. So I got to make sure we got the clipboards and the notes and, you know, make sure people know.
It's a whole operation.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a lot. On top of the fact that I still have to prepare a sermon and be prepared enough to actually deliver it. And so, so when I got down, I went to Al and I was like, bruh, when do you get to write your sermon? And we still hadn't talked about the fact that I still need to be a husband. I still need to be a dad. I still need to be a student. I still need to spend my own personal time with God. And all those things can be difficult to manage.
For sure. And I think, you know, church planning and becoming the pastor of a church are two different things. So you assuming leadership of an already functioning machine is different from what we did, which was plant our own church in this community. And you know, I feel like a lot of people might ask, like, you know, why? Why do you have to start your own church, or why? And I really feel like it's something you have to be called to. I don't think it's something that you should do out of selfish ambition, for sure. It's definitely not something to do out of ego or just wanting to be the leader or the head, because you'll learn very quickly that it's not worth it. You know, it's not just wanting to be the head of something. You know, it's not worth that type of all in lifetime investment that you're going to have to make. Now, of course, winning souls is worth it, but you have to be doing it for the right reasons, in order for you to really, you know, truly be successful and truly, get some sort of purpose from it.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. So I also feel like if you don't have the proper giftings to do it either, then I would encourage you, not necessarily don't do it, but you need to make sure that before you start, that you find people who can kind of complement your weaknesses, because, you know, you need certain type of giftings that will actually make this happen. So if you're just a person who's, you know, you like, if you got to be an entrepreneur and have an entrepreneur type drive to plan a church, where you got to be willing to go get it, man. And so anyway, so if you don't have that go get it type mentality, then it's going to be difficult for you.
Yeah. And speaking of difficult, we're not having church right now, as you know, hopefully most people are not having church right now because we are in the middle of a pandemic.
So when you say having church, you mean the
you see what I'm talking about?
Yeah, okay. It's hard.
We're not having Sunday services right now, in the traditional sense, in the building. We are still having our services online every Sunday at 10 a.m. shameless plug, on Facebook and YouTube, but we are not meeting physically because we have a stay-at-home order in Louisiana. We have 14,000 cases of COVID-19. Over 500 people have died. And we are learning how to do church differently. We had never actually did any live services on Facebook prior to COVID-19. We didn't do Facebook Live. We didn't do YouTube Live until this hit, because we didn't really have the capabilities set up. We could have, but we just, you know, we didn't have it set up the way that we would like it. So we never went live during our services.
Yeah. And for me, it wasn't a priority. It's like, what's happening in the room in that moment, and those people that are there are the priority, versus people who are probably more so trying to spectate, or, you know, just trying to get a feel for who we are, which is, I'm fine with that. But it's like, if you want to really get a feel for us, you just show up. So what's frustrating about the whole, you know, pandemic thing regarding church planning is, like, man, I really felt like we was about to hit a great stride, and like we were about to ride an awesome wave of momentum. We had just had our first baptism, and so we had baptized five.
It was
the
amazing.
First Sunday in March, or second Sunday in March. And yeah, it was like, man, we had our highest number of people there that Sunday. We had 63 people that showed up that Sunday.
Outside of the launch service, of course.
Yeah, yeah. So other than the launch service, and that was like, our giving, we had already tripled. By March 15th, we had already tripled what we had budgeted regarding giving. And so it was like, man, we
praise God.
I know, it was really awesome. And so for all that to go because of COVID-19, it was pretty frustrating, but, you know, I think God is doing some really awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Now, in light of that too.
And one of my Facebook friends had posted about being able to see, like, churches that had never normally used certain technological advances or advancements, and now we're being forced, you know, to use these things is a good thing. But I think ultimately, you know, what we're seeing in this season and what God is using this time to show us is that, one, that the church is not a building. Two, that he's exposing our own personal relationship with him, because if you can't go and get your high from your pastor and your level of emotionalism as that is in the room, will you still be stirred? You know, will you still have that relationship? Will you still communicate with him on a regular basis if you can't physically get in the building? And something else that for us personally, that has really, like, this whole pandemic has actually tested our faith tremendously. And for me, it's grown my faith. I've definitely been more consistent in my prayer time, more consistent and more, I have more pointed prayers, more intentionality in my prayers, because I truly believe that God is the only entity that can do these things that I'm praying for. So something as great and as big as COVID-19, worldwide pandemic, there's nothing that I can do within my power to stop that. That's a God-sized problem. And so it, you know, I have to pray to the one who created the world. And speaking of the pandemic, guys, I don't know if y'all knew this, but Larice,
I got tested for COVID-19.
What, he got tested, but he was also quarantined for this entire weekend. So today was the first day he was not quarantined to one room.
Yeah. So that was quite the experience. And so I look forward to
the experience,
to sharing more details about that later. But that was pretty, being stuck in a room, and it wasn't even the whole 14 days or plus, you know, the 3 days with right. no symptoms. And just that, man, was hard. You know, hearing Brave in the room laughing and y'all playing Baby Shark, and, you know, but I found me a good show though. I did do that.
So, that's all for today's episode of Vintage Love. We are so happy that we are back and we'll be doing more podcasts. Our next episode, we're going to talk about the quarantine, the weekend of quarantine where Larice had to get tested for COVID-19. He was quarantined away from me and baby Brave for a whole weekend, like 3-4 days.
Friday to Monday. So as far as what our church is doing in light of COVID-19, and you're welcome to connect in any of those regards, every Tuesday our missional family meets on Zoom. And so if you go to our social media, you'll see the information for that. Wednesday night, our ladies are doing a Bible study through the book of Jude with Jackie Hill Perry. Shout out to Jackie Hill Perry. And so, ladies, if you want to jump in on that, you might not have the resources, but being a part of the dialogue and listening, you're welcome for that. Our men are walking through the book of John. And so that's really cool for us to just read through the scriptures. A lot of times we take that for granted. And so we're reading through that. We're talking through it. And then what was that? Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So yeah. And then our church is divided in care groups to pray daily, and check in with each other regularly. So, and then Sunday you can, you know, again, stream us live 10 a.m. And we really made it an opportunity for you to create this, a time to facilitate discipleship in your home.
Yes.
And so there's discussion questions ingrained throughout the sermon and so on and so forth. So bless you, God keep you, and may he smile upon you and turn his face towards you.
Bye.
See you.